I'll begin tonight by saying that tomorrow is, in a way, a kind of holiday of the earth, a sacred day of the earth, the autumnal equinox. So I just want to talk about this monumental event for a moment. Equinox, the word itself, comes from equa, meaning equal, and nox, meaning night. In other words, the day and the night are of equal length. Everywhere on the planet tomorrow will have 12 hours a day and 12 hours of night. Everywhere on the planet, the sun will rise perfectly due east and set perfectly due west. It's only one of 2 days in the year when that happens. We're crossing into a dark time of the year for the next 6 months in the Northern Hemisphere. The days will be shorter than the nights. Of course, in the Southern Hemisphere, just the opposite. They'll be longer in the nights, with days longer than the nights for the next 6 months. Tomorrow is dawn at the South Pole. And for the next 6 months, the South Pole will have 24 hours a day uninterrupted sunlight. Tomorrow is dusk at the North Pole. And for the next 6 months, the North Pole will have 24 hours uninterrupted darkness. And that circle of darkness will continue to expand until it fills the entire Arctic Circle by the winter solstice. And so this is a profound holiday, a crossing into the dark time of the year. And in some ways connected to the topic tonight, which is boundaries. So to talk about boundaries, I'm going to begin with an ancient Chinese saying. What comes through the gate is not family treasure. The idea is that in any traditional family, family treasure would be something that was already with the family. It had been with the family for generations. And therefore, something new, something coming from the outside through the gate, that would not be family treasure. And so this was an idea in ancient Chinese aristocratic society, but the statement was taken up very much by the Chan Buddhist tradition in ancient China. The whole idea that what comes through the gate is not family treasure. In other words, my enlightenment comes from my own effort. And, you know, well, there may be teachings that inspire me, that sort of thing. No one else is going to give me something that replaces the authenticity of my own experience. And it's an interesting lens in which to think about boundaries. Fundamentally, you know, we establish a boundary to protect something valuable, you know. And so part of the work of boundaries is seeing yourself as something valuable. So you could say at the root of self-boundaries, at the root of good boundaries is the work of self-compassion, among other things. Boundaries are often associated with the third chakra, the solar plexus chakra. I realize you, my screen, you can't really see. I'm pointing to my solar plexus. So, and a good way to think about the third chakra, some of you have heard me talk about the third chakra a little bit. I like to think of the third chakra in terms of the physical organs that are here. The physical organs are the digestive organs. And what is digestion? Fundamentally, digestion is the miraculous process by which not me becomes me. In other words, I eat food, I eat plants and animals, all kinds of chemicals from these other living things, and somehow my body magically changes that into me. It becomes my muscles, my energy, that sort of thing. And really what's going on, it's a remarkable system because I put all kinds of stuff into my body and then my body decides, okay, these are nutrients. I'm going to absorb this. This is going to become part of Mike. This is stuff we don't need, and this is going to go out, you know. And it even knows what to do with toxins. And all right, this got into the body, but it shouldn't be here. And so let's clean this out. All this happens, and all this is magically happening, you know, without our even paying attention to it. I mean, of course, it's nice if we can eat healthy and generally support the process. But in other words, all of that happens without our even paying attention to it. And so you might think of the third chakra as being the analog for emotional energies. You know, all the emotional energies that come at you. You should be this kind of person. You should be that kind of person. You should value this. You shouldn't value that. You should buy this, you know, et cetera, et cetera. They come from advertising. They come from the expectations of people around us. They come from societal stories. All these energies come to us. Now, someone with healthy boundaries is able to say, okay, that message doesn't resonate. That message doesn't resonate. Ah, that message, that resonates with who I am. I'm going to make that part of me. In other words, they're able to digest in a healthy way the messages that are coming to us. And so part of healthy boundaries is just to pay attention to that process. You know, and mindfulness is very helpful here. Just as we get handed particular messages, and maybe it's a message on a billboard, maybe it's a message in an advertisement, maybe it's something a friend recommends to us. You know, there are a variety of ways that messages arrive. But when the message arrives, just check in, and especially check in with the gut level. How does that message feel? Is that a message that I really want in my body? Is that a message that I really want as part of myself? You know, and just to start to develop that sense, that you might say that taste for what messages are more yummy and what messages are not so yummy, you know. Part of boundaries also is, how to say it? I have poor boundaries if I am in this role of being automatically nice, automatically agreeable, that sort of thing. And it's very tricky because on the one hand, Buddhism and really all the other wisdom traditions, they valorize compassion. Of course, we want to be compassionate people, kind, warm-hearted people. We want to be all that. But it's very subtle. Compassion comes from a place of fullness. True compassion comes from a place of intention. I choose to give compassion, okay? I could choose not to, but I choose to give it, you know? And in fact, that's part of what is very powerful about genuine generosity. When we receive genuine generosity without strings attached, without anything, it's a gift with the full knowing the person didn't have to give it to us, but they chose to give it to us, you know? And that's something very different from the person who's running on a kind of automatic pilot. Well, I have to be nice to everybody. I have to be agreeable to everybody. I have to be generous to everybody, you know? Then it's, I mean, how can I say? A generosity that comes from that actually feels very different because it's not just the true gift, no strings attached. It almost comes with this feeling of, you know, I'm giving you this, but I have this expectation because I need to feel good as a giver. You know, I need to, you know, get some thanks in return or something like this. In other words, there's some kind of energetic string attached to the nature of the giving. A lot of times the automatic yes person, the automatic pleaser, the automatic accommodator, that's often a position that comes from scarcity. It's a position that comes from, I don't have permission to say no. I don't have permission to say no to others. And so it's worthwhile just to feel into, do you own your yes and do you own your no? When you say yes, is it really truly a 100% yes? Or do you say yes when you mean no? you know? And do you own your no? Do you say no the moment you feel it? Or do you swallow the no and put on the, you know, say the agreeable yes, you know? So just to notice these things. Someone with very good boundaries owns their no and owns their yes. Someone with good boundaries is assertive. Assertive is different from aggressive. Aggressive, I'm trying to tear other people down. Assertive just is, I'm going to speak my truth. This is what I want. This is what I don't want. I'm going to speak my truth very directly. Now, being assertive can lead to certain kinds of conflict. But in other words, a conflict where I'm standing in my integrity and speaking my truth, you know, someone else might get upset about that. But again, part of good boundaries is I'm not taking responsibility. It's not my job to fix everyone else. It's not my job to take care of everyone else, you know. It's part of good boundaries is I'm going to take care of myself. I'm not going to ask other people to prop me up and take care of me. But also, I'm not going to just do caretaking to anyone else. And again, it's subtle and tricky because Buddhism urges us to be compassionate. It urges us to be generous. And part of being generous is those moments when we are attending to the needs of others, you know. And so it's not about being cold and never attending to the needs of others. But again, is it coming from the place of intention and choice? Or is it this automatic pilot thing? Oh, someone else is upset, I've got to appease them. You know, that kind of thing. When we start to move from a place of not very good boundaries into greater, you know, better boundaries, chances are good we're going to run into some conflicts, you know. Chances are good that we're going to get a certain amount of resistance from the people who they may not have realized that at all, but energetically, somehow they were benefiting from us not having good boundaries. You know, they may be upset in some ways. And part of good boundaries is to accept that. In other words, how can I say? If someone asks me for help, say a friend asks me for help, I might feel into it and feel, honestly, I cannot help right now. And I would tell them that. Now, there's also a good way to ask for help with good boundaries. Someone who's asking for help with good boundaries is saying, you know, if it works for you and you know, allowing, you know, it's not this ironclad expectation, but allowing, you know, recognizing the choice in giving or not giving help. But if somebody asks me for help and I say I can't, and then they throw a fit, I'm not responsible for that fit, you know? Like, I'm responsible for the reasonable disappointment someone might have at my no. But in other words, I'm not the source of, like, you know, if they collapse as a person, I'm not responsible for that, you know? And so I can be compassionate toward that, but I don't have the responsibility to fix that. Part of good boundaries is not getting involved in drama. That would be another way to say it. Drama is often a plea for attention of some kind. I mean, that's why people engage in drama, because they're looking for some kind of attention. And so it's very tricky. We definitely live in a culture in which there's a wide array of poor boundaries. You know, families that have poor boundaries, people that don't know, you know, where one person ends, the other person begins, and people grow up in these families, and then they get married to other partners, and they have poor boundaries, you know. Part of having good boundaries is trusting oneself, relying on oneself. not in an unreasonable way, not to the exclusion of other people, but a relying on one's own inner sense of knowing. Not needing another person to tell me the answer. You know, and of course people will, you know, people give all kinds of feedback, and sometimes there is something that somebody says on the outside that really resonates, that I say, oh, okay, that resonates. That resonates with something deep within me. You know, there are certain people that have a gift of articulating the thing that I wasn't able to articulate inside of me, and that can be a real gift sometimes, you know. But it's about valuing, recognizing that the value of who I am, the preciousness of who I am, is within. And I don't need anyone else's validation. I don't need anyone else's approval to be who I am. I don't need anyone else's permission to stand in my power, to have all my feelings, to have all my wants and desires. The third chakra is often called the power center, because when somebody has very good boundaries, they're a very powerful person. And I think finally I'll say on the topic of boundaries, of course, it's a bit paradoxical here, you know, this is a meditation group and I'm talking about the importance of good ego boundaries, you know, and aren't we trying to get rid of ego? But it's a paradox. We can't give something away until we own it. You know, I have no power to generously give away the Golden Gate Bridge because I don't own it, you know. I only can surrender my ego after I fully own my ego, you know, and own it with good boundaries. And so I see the journey, like, in other words, to get from bad boundaries to transcending ego, it's almost like the, you know, the principle of Boston driving, can't get there from here kind of thing. Like, you have to go through the place of good boundaries. And I'll also say that when we interact with others from a place of very good boundaries, that's a gift we bring into the world. I'm walking into the world not only with my words, but even with my energetic signature, I'm saying to people, I don't need you to take care of me. I'm good as I am, you know, and I'm not going to let you take advantage of me either, but I'm perfectly fine as I am. And there's actually something very healing in that. And it's actually, I would say, a medicine that many people in this culture need, just to be in the presence of people who have better boundaries. It will help them strengthen their own boundaries. So it actually is a tremendous gift to everyone around us when we work on our boundaries. So at this point, I'll share the quote sheet. So the quote sheet is in the chat there. I have the ancient Chinese saying at the top. An amazing quote from Goethe at the beginning. As soon as you trust yourself, you will know how to live. That is an idea you could read and contemplate every day of life. That is an incredibly profound idea. Warren Buffett says, the difference between successful people and really successful people is that really successful people say no to almost everything. So that's just fascinating perspective from him. Susan Forward, in a book called Toxic Parents, says, children who are not encouraged to do, to try, to explore, to master, and to risk failure often feel helpless and inadequate. Over-controlled by anxious, fearful parents, these children often become anxious and fearful themselves. This makes it difficult for them to mature. Many never outgrow the need for parental guidance and control, and as a result, their parents continue to invade, manipulate, and frequently dominate their lives. A very powerful quote that can ring quite true. Anne Lamott says quite simply, no is a complete sentence. Tony Robbins says, this is a powerful line, you get what you tolerate. And it's a fascinating thing fascinating to think about. What do you tolerate? And why do you tolerate it, you know? A couple from Brené Brown, she says, compassionate people ask for what they need. They say no when they need to, and when they say yes, they mean it. They're compassionate because their boundaries keep them out of resentment. She also said, when we fail to set boundaries and hold people accountable, we feel used and mistreated. This is why we sometimes attack who they are, which is far more hurtful than addressing a behavior or choice. Jessica Moore says, having healthy boundaries not only requires being able to say no, but also being willing and able to enforce that no when necessary. Kevin J. Donaldson says, remember, no one has the right to control your emotions, thoughts, and actions unless you let them. Theun Maris says, a warrior cuts out all unnecessary acts. In this way, he saves his personal power. Shahida Arabi says, when you notice someone does something toxic the first time, don't wait for the second time before you address it or cut them off. Many survivors are used to the wait-and-see tactic, which only leaves them vulnerable to a second attack. As your boundaries get stronger, the wait time gets shorter. You never have to justify your intuition. Deborah Day says, evaluating the benefits and drawbacks of any relationship is your responsibility. You do not have to passively accept what is brought to you. You can choose. Cheryl Richardson says, if you want to live an authentic, meaningful life, you need to master the art of disappointing and upsetting others, hurting feelings, and living with the reality that some people just won't like you. It may not be easy, but it's essential if you want your life to reflect your deepest desires, values, and needs. Danny Silk says, in order for us to practice self-control, we must have a goal. We must have something we are saying yes to, which necessarily comes with things we must say no to. We use our self-control to maneuver ourselves toward this yes. This goal must be entirely on our own. The minute another person is choosing and managing our goals for us, we have left self-control behind. Darlene Lancer says, allowing bad behavior rewards it. Behavior rewarded is repeated. Don't wait for your anger to confront. Greg Anderson says, although our inattention can contribute to our lack of total well-being, we also have the power to choose positive behaviors and responses. And in that choice, we change our experience of life. Shannon Elder says, the only real conflict you will ever have won't be with others, but with yourself. And then two anonymous quotes. Only the people who get upset about you setting boundaries are the ones who are benefiting from you not having any. They also said, if someone throws a fit because you set boundaries, it's just more evidence that the boundary is needed. Terry Cole says, being accommodating can be nice. Auto-accommodating is just exhausting. Courtney Carver says, if you want more time, freedom, and energy, start saying no. Mandy Hale says it is necessary and even vital to set standards for your life and for the people you allow in it. David Earle says families living in dysfunction suddenly seldom have healthy boundaries. Dysfunctional families have trouble knowing where they stop and others begin. And Pam Daub says, I've worked very hard at understanding myself and learning to be assertive. I'm past the point where I worry about people liking me. And that's powerful because, I mean, someone who lives like Gandhi or the Dalai Lama, a lot of people love them, but those people aren't concerned with being liked. They're not attached to being liked.